Law and Gospel on this Monday, the first day of October in the year of our Lord 2012. And you know, the big holiday in October. What? No, not Halloween. Reformation. And we'll be moving towards that. And today we're going to be taking a gander at one of the readings for this coming Sunday. God had many ways of saving people. Why did he choose the way he chose? We'll take a look at that on the basis of Hebrews chapter 2. So if you want to open up your Bible, but first of all, a couple of housekeeping duties. I do definitely want to thank the good people in Havana, Illinois, St. Paul's Lutheran Church, with their fine pastor, Wes Reimnitz. I've already received emails. You know, I may not do this enough, that when we go around doing Law and Gospel, and the pastor often lets me know about various things that are happening in the church after that. It happened in my congregation, too, when I brought in different speakers. It's not that we say something different than what is being taught, but we may say it in a different way, and it kind of wakes people up to that. One email came in. We very much enjoyed your sermon and Bible class Sunday. It was nice to see you and Pastor Wes having so much fun together. I've heard your program. However, often we don't get the greatest reception of KFUO. So that's the first thing I want to tell you. If you have a computer, you can get on KFUO listening to us in four clicks. I mean clicks. I don't mean you have to type anything. The first thing is, hopefully you have iTunes. You click on iTunes, then you'll see a list on the left, and one of them is radio. You click on radio, then you'll see a list on the left, and one of them is religious, which means religious radio. You click on that, then you'll see a list on the left of all the radio stations in alphabetical order, and you just go down to KFUO AM. You click on that, and within 2 seconds, you'll be hearing the station as it is. That's right. It's called streaming, so you have really no excuse if you have iTunes. And iTunes is free. You don't have to even pay for it. In fact, maybe you play DVDs or CDs on your computer. You can do that through iTunes. They have a nice line so you know where you're at in the CD and this sort of thing. Plus, of course, if you like music, you can download music and other items. But iTunes, four clicks. Once more quickly, iTunes, radio, religious, KFUO AM. Okay, now, another item I want to just say that we got from Pastor Wes Reimnitz. He indicated that there was a 17% increase in church attendance. But more importantly, and I'm going to bring him in to talk about this, he has a custom there that I really liked. After the Saturday night worship service, anybody who wanted would go out to eat. So we had a big crew out at Pizza Hut. We talked to a waitress there who was really interested in talking more with Pastor Reimnitz. He had a good conversation with her. And he writes me, besides the Pizza Hut lead, that is the waitress, we have one other solid contact and another possible contact for a total of three prospects. This is the kind of thing that happens time and time again when you bring somebody in to kind of do a seminar or as I do on Law and Gospel. People are interested. They bring their friends. In fact, it was a Sunday when a number of people did bring friends. And so it was great. We're going to have Wes Reimnitz on pretty soon and talk about the results of that. But if you're all interested, I'm available to come to congregations, do seminars, not in October. I'm pretty well filled in October, but during the week in October, I can do Bible seminars on Wednesday nights. If you're interested in me coming out for Advent services, and we really kind of bring some things from KFUO too. I do know we have, therefore, new people listening to KFUO today because of our trip to Havana. And so, without further ado, let me tell you that on normally on Tuesdays, I'm on Issues, Etc. for the Sunday School lesson, but they just contacted me and asked if I could do it today, and I can. So if you listen about 4:15, 4:30 here on KFUO, you'll hear me doing the Sunday school lesson for this coming Sunday. On Wednesday at 6:45 p.m., I'll be at Epiphany Lutheran Church for a worship service. And this Saturday and Sunday, we're going to be at the Lutheran Church in Hoffman, Illinois. Well, we'll tell you more about that as we move towards it. All right. Let's examine the lesson we want to take a look at today. And that's from Hebrews chapter 2. And the question is, God probably had many ways he could have saved the world. How come he did it the way he chose? Namely, that he became human flesh and blood and died on the cross and rose from the grave. When I was a kid, I used to think, well, why doesn't God just kind of clap his hands and then say, anybody who believes I clap my hands, they're saved? Well, part of the problem is God the Father is a spirit and doesn't have hands. But he can become, look at, like a human being or anything he desires. But the point I'm trying to make here is, why did he choose the way he did? Not long ago, and I think I shared some of it on KFUO, Law and Gospel, there was a Roman Catholic priest who analyzed and came up with about seven different ways of how God could have created the world and saved human beings. And at the end of coming up with these seven ways, one of them which was, of course, the way it did happen, he came to the conclusion that the other six really weren't as good as the one that God had chosen. It was kind of a fascinating article of speculation, but that's the kind of God we have. I know people will ask questions, why did God do it the way he did? If he's omniscient, he knew not only that man would fall into sin and people would go to hell, but that he would have to be crucified. Why did he do that, knowing that all that would come about? I have no idea, because I'm not God. We hardly know anything about God. You know very little about the Father and the Holy Spirit. You know some of their works, but to know their mind fully, no. That's why if you really want to know what God is like, you always look to the person and work of Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity. So we want to take a look why God did what he did. All right. We want to start with verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 2. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Wow. Made a little lower than the angels? What is he talking about? He's talking about his incarnation. From God's point of view, if you want to rank creation, the angels, probably one of the first beings he created, certainly probably before Adam and Eve, because they were his last part of the creation. God regards human beings then as kind of lower than the angels in the hierarchy of creation. Well, what is so amazing, though, is that there is no salvation for angels. Wow. In fact, that is found in verse 16. There's actually a verse in the Bible. Indeed, God does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. I wonder if you ever thought about that. Why doesn't he give aid to angels? Because those that have fallen and issues, etc., had a fascinating hour last week, I think it was Friday, talking about where the bad angels came from and the war in heaven, Beelzebub and Michael the archangel. It was really quite good. You can archive that at issuesetc.org. The point is, there is no salvation for angels. There's only salvation for the seed of Abraham. That is, human beings. But why did God choose the way he chose? Well, verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood. So we're talking about those created who are human beings. There's something different from the angels. That is, the angels are only spirits. Occasionally they can appear in the form of a human being, as Gabriel did with Mary, but he still is only a spirit. As much as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, and that's referring to Jesus, likewise shared in the same. Now, here's the question. Why did Jesus have to partake in flesh and blood? Why did he have to become incarnate? And the answer is clear. That through death, he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, if I ever gave that to a 10-year-old in confirmation to read, he would have no idea what that is talking about. And maybe you're not that clear either. That's the reason for worldwide KFUO. We're here to expand on God's revelation, to bring it to your understanding, where we are today in 2011. See, a lot of the Bible was really understood by the people in Jesus' day, whereas not understood by us. Because when certain words were used, they were familiar with the words or the practices behind those words. The best example I can give you, the Apostle Paul talks about a baptism of the dead. There are about 24 interpretations that could mean. We have no idea which one is correct. First of all, about half of them are wrong because they contradict other parts of the Bible. But the other half may be true. But when Paul wrote to that church talking about the baptism of the dead, they were clear as to what he was talking about, because that was part of their culture. That was part of their experience. We're not quite sure what that experience or cultural idea there was, so we're not really sure what Paul is talking about when he talks about a baptism of the dead. So this is why you really need an ordained pastor who knows the Hebrew and Greek doing the Bible study. Because if you don't, you're just going to get kind of, well, maybe confirmation level, or maybe even Sunday school level. But we want to give you insights here. And that's what Long Gospel is really about. So let's kind of go through this. Because the people who were going to be saved, the part of creation that was going to be saved, was made of flesh and blood. And because that part of creation caused all the rest of creation to fall into disarray, not including the angels, of course, because they had their own war in heaven against Almighty God. But in light of the fact that as part of creation, it had to be restored, you had to restore that which caused all the mess, and that was a human being. And therefore, Jesus couldn't stay a spirit. He had to share in the same flesh and blood for the purpose of dying. What? Well, remember, we were subject to bondage. What does bondage mean? It means you're in prison. And who put you in prison? Well, the police, the judge, the warden. And they do so on the basis because you broke promises that you should not have broken. You became guilty of a crime. And because you broke those promises of being an American citizen, for example, and being loyal to the country, you get punished. Well, we broke promises. Adam and Eve, they began it. They said, no, we'll obey everything. And of course, they fell into sin. So what are we under bondage to? What promise from the warden, from the judge? In the day that you sin, death is the result. In fact, he said, you shall surely die. And that is exactly what happened to Adam and Eve. It wasn't a physical death, but it was a spiritual death, a separation from God. They forsook God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And therefore, they are subject to eternal bondage in Satan's home called hell. So, with that in mind, Jesus likewise shared in the same, that is, took upon himself flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. Now, have you ever thought of the devil having the power of death? What does that mean? Does it mean that he can cause anybody to die when he wants? The answer is no. No. Because nobody dies until God permits it. So if you know of a loved one who died, it was only according to the will of God that that death took place. I know of people who try to commit suicide. I don't know them personally, but I'm saying I've heard stories where they'll jump off a bridge where normally when you hit the water, you just are dead. But they're not. They may have broken back, broken legs, all kinds of things. But guess what? They're still alive because God wasn't ready for them, even though they had done something that normally causes death. So, why did death have to take place in order to destroy the devil? What does it mean that the devil has the power of death? Well, the word power simply means when you die, you belong to the devil eternally. He has the authority of where you're going because of God's promise. In the day that you die, death shall be the result. Death, therefore, is more than just dying physically. It's frankly losing your relationship with God eternally. And that's what hell is. What Jesus did, he took upon that death and he lost the relationship with God the Father for a time. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus took upon himself as your substitute the punishment that should have been yours and mine. And it still should, even as a Christian, because as a Christian, I confess I'm a poor, miserable sinner deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment in light of my sin. You just never stop sinning this side of heaven. So it was impossible even for an angel to save you. Now that's pretty clear in Revelation chapter 5, when, and I call this the kind of metaphorical ascension scene. Jesus returns to heaven as a slain lamb, and in the hand of God the Father on the throne is a scroll. And that scroll has to be opened up because it reveals how people are saved. But if nobody can open the scroll, if nobody is worthy to open the scroll, then we all go to hell. And listen to this. Verse 2, then a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. And therefore, John wept because he knew that meant we're going to hell. But in verse 5, one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And who is this? He is none other than the Lamb of God. And sure enough, I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain. Wow, this is Jesus the Christ. And then the very next verses, they had previously in verse 4, everybody in heaven sang praises to God the Father. But now they sing the same hymn to God the Son. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And then in verse 13 of chapter 5, they combine the two. Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Jesus did for you what you are unable to do for yourself. That through death, he may destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. And listen again to verse 15. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You see, this is why people are afraid of death. While you're here on earth, you have some semblance of control. Now, this is why people attempt to do suicide rather than languish with sickness, because they want to die a death of dignity, and this is how messed up the devil has them. The most undignified way to die is by suicide. It is totally a selfish act. And it terribly hurts those left behind. I mean, you can't think of a more sinful thing to do in regard to death than commit suicide. Now, I know there's some situations where people who commit suicide from a medical and legal point of view are out of their minds. Maybe they're on a drug or something like that. I'm not putting them in that category. But those who attempt to, and you hear this all the time, I want to die a dignified death. Well, a dignified death means to let God end your life, and therefore to experience all that is necessary as you move towards that, because God still uses you. He can use you in reaching out to you and reaching out to others who see the faith you have as you near that time when God will take you from this veil of tears. I was at St. James 28 years. There were a number of shut-ins, alone, their family gone, no spouse, who wished they had died. Every one of them had their wish granted. That asked me about that. That they're no longer with us. For some, it only took a week or so. Others, it took years. But God granted their wish when He was ready. Therefore, God, in His almighty wisdom, gives aid to human beings. Verse 17 really clears it up. Therefore, in all things He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Yeah, just ask a 10-year-old what propitiation means. Well, what it simply means is that you put yourself as a substitute to die or suffer for someone else. You become a propitiation for them. For in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to aid those who are tempted. I always like going to chapter 4 of Hebrews, verse 15. For we do not have a great high priest who has passed through the heavenly heavens, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now, what does that mean to you? Well, listen. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's a great way to end today. I'm sorry, I just saw we've got phone calls. We're not going to be able to get to them today. Tomorrow, by the way, is with Pastor Mark Smith. So if you have a call about what we've been saying today, phone in and we will put you on the line. Try and get in early so that we have time. But today's point is a real clear one. God has given us the wonderful gift of Jesus Christ, who became a human being, because only by having flesh and blood could he die for flesh and blood. Angels can't die for human beings. Animals can't die for human beings. All the sacrifices of animals were simply to point forward to the Lamb of God who had come to take away the sins of the world. And that's what, you know, John the Baptizer said when he saw Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sins of the cosmos, as Pastor Kurowski pointed out, which means when he restores human beings, he also restores all creation that fell because of the fall into sin of Adam and Eve. As I said, on tomorrow's Law and Gospel, those of you who try to call in here, we're going to allow you to come on tomorrow and talk to Pastor Mark Smith. We're also going to deal with emails. One of them, for example, was that Martin Luther had said that the law was for the Jews. And the person has a follow-up question to that, and so we will definitely deal with that. You can write me if you have an email question, lawgospel@lawgospel.com. God bless the people of Havana.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.